people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. Well, or good afternoon or good evening. I'm not trying to steal Kev's line there, but it is appropriate because I'm finding out now we're getting listeners from all over the world. And I just, man, it's humbling. It's humbling, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot appreciate all of you guys enough for tuning in at truthfrequencyradio.com. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. My name's JD. We're live right now. It is 10 o'clock in the morning where I am at, but wherever you are at on planet Earth, I hope you guys are having a good day, a good evening, wherever, you know, I know that a lot of UK guys getting off work right now. So, that's very cool that we get kind of the morning crew here on the West Coast and then we get the evening crew there in the UK in the evening. I just love it. Very cool. Good timing, I suppose. What are we going to talk about today? I have no idea. I have no idea, really. Not a lot going on in the news. Other than a lot of details coming out about this plane crash that happened in the French Alps. Also, kind of hit my radar this morning. We went to a new war. We started a new war yesterday, just putting that out there. And also, Bo Bergdahl. Remember him? Well, we got some new information coming out about him. So we actually do have quite a bit to talk about today. Did you guys happen to catch the 3-hour TFR, KBS, Freedom Links, 9/11 extravaganza that went down last night with Rebecca Roth and myself? It was amazing. I think, honestly, Rebecca Roth has absolutely nailed every single detail about 9/11 that was still kind of left hanging out there. She brought all the details together last night, and man, I'll tell you what an amazing show. What a great thing to be a part of. I highly recommend you guys go back and download Kevin's archive and also Joe from Freedom Links archive last night to get all 3 hours of Rebecca Roth. Just absolutely amazing stuff. Really cool to be a part of it, and a lot of good feedback from that show also last night. So again, hope you guys caught that. Rebecca Roth, I'll tell you what, she is uncovering more and more information about 9/11 as the days go on, and again, disclosing stuff off air that she's not comfortable coming on air and talking about yet. That's just absolutely smoking gun kind of groundbreaking stuff. And so all of us kind of at the end of the call last night were fairly put into speechless mode for the most part, and especially the off air things that she's talking about. So we're all very concerned about Rebecca right now. And of course, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with her, hoping that she does not get a drone strike in her living room, because that's kind of the depth of the information that she's uncovering right now. Anyway, highly, highly recommend you guys go back and check that show out. I was humbled to be a part of that whole experience. Really looking forward to being on the Wuku Friday night too. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but it's going to be super good times. Giving into what's going on here at the Red Pill today, Deborah Tavares is going to be joining us in about an hour. Of course, there's really not anybody in the world that I would rather get insight from than Deborah Tavares, especially when it comes to the ever encroaching agenda of Agenda 21 and all of the ancillary goodies that go along with it. I'm sure today we're going to be talking about whatever is super hot on her radar. I'd like to talk to her a little bit about this impending forced vaccination resolution that's kind of coming out right now. So hopefully she'll have some things to say about that. But it's always insightful, and it's always up to the minute with Deborah Tavares. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Her website, if you guys want to check it out, is linked from the redpillreports.com. If you go to the show section at the top of redpillreports.com, you'll be able to find out everything you want to know about Deborah. And stopthecrime.net is her website. She also is very active on YouTube under that same title, Stop the Crime. So I would seriously, seriously recommend checking that out. And as per usual with Deborah Tavares, when she comes onto the show, You guys have an hour to get ready for this. Get a pen, get a piece of paper, get ready to write things down because you're going to want to take notes. She's going to be giving you guys a lot of information, websites, I'm sure, videos to watch, things like that. We'll do our best to get them over to Red Pill as soon as she mentions them, but you just never know because she is just literally up to the minute with things. So definitely looking forward to that conversation in about an hour. And then tomorrow, another high water mark for the Red Pill Reports. L.A. Marzulli going to be back on the program. Lots of questions for L.A. this week, and definitely looking forward to having you guys in the chat room along for that ride. He is absolutely as close to a living Indiana Jones as we're going to get, ladies and gentlemen. So definitely looking forward to that tomorrow. It is Thursday right now. Again, I mentioned that earlier, the 26th day of March. I cannot believe how quickly March is flying by. And it is Friday evening, so I hope you guys are gearing up for a weekend out there, having a day or two off. Very good stuff. Obsidian, I totally agree with you. Somebody in the chat room saying that Deborah Tavares is the hot cookie. She is, man. I'll tell you what, her information is just about as good as it gets. Okay, well, I suppose I've rambled enough here this morning. Let's hop into the international news. If you were listening to the 3-hour TFR KBS Freedom Links 9/11 expose extravaganza with myself and Rebecca Roth last night, you would have heard the breaking news at about 9 p.m. last night, I think is when it happened, news about this aircraft that went down in France. The latest revelations, and again, this is an ongoing story. It just, you know, the details seem to keep changing. And, you know, we talked a little bit last night with Rebecca Roth about some of the unusual things that are coming out regarding this particular flight. But now again, the latest breaking news right now is that the co-pilot of this Germanwings Airbus A320 locked his cabin, locked the captain out of the cabin before deliberately crashing the airplane into a mountain. I guess it apparently was his deliberate intention to destroy the airplane. So obviously everybody's scouring now, trying to figure out everything they can about this co-pilot. His name is Andreas Günther Libitz. He is 28 years old. No ties to terrorism. Does not seem like a suicidal guy. You know, to me, this just seems really, really, really unusual right now. So again, they're saying that data extracted from the black box recorder said that the co-pilot, again, named this 28-year-old German Andreas Lubitz, he locked the pilot out of the captain or out of the cockpit, and he was again left as the senior officer on the deck. And at that point, Lubitz used the flight management system to put the plane into a descent, which is something that can be done manually. See, what bothers me about this is the initial reports came out saying that the pilots had been in contact again with the air towers there in Marseille, saying mayday, mayday, mayday. And yeah, I'm with you, Red. I seriously smell a rat here, because initial reports, again, talked about unusual circumstances going on the plane, which, you know, initially led us all to think, okay, CERN maybe yanked that thing out of the sky, or maybe the Navy's testing out their new laser weapon again, or potentially, you know, a hijacking via hacking, similar to what a lot of us probably think happened with the MH370, including Rebecca Roth. Went and did the research on the A320, and it does in fact have that same fly-by-wire system, and it does have an override system similar to the Boeing Uninterruptible Autopilot. I don't know exactly what the moniker is that the Airbus organization uses, but again, certainly plausible that this thing could have been hijacked. So the details to me are just getting murky. I don't know about you guys, but the fact that, you know, this, they're saying that on the flight recorder, there was no sound from the passengers until just the last minute before they realized something was very wrong, and then you could hear some screaming. They did say they could hear the captain, calling to the cockpit through the phone and also through the door, trying to get the door open, could not do it. But apparently Mr. Libitz, again, the acting co-pilot at the time, was completely silent during the final descent, the last 8 or 10 minutes or however long they're saying it was today, completely silent. And so, they're saying again, he voluntarily refused to open the door. They're reporting that his breathing was normal during the final minutes of the flight. So his breath was not somebody who was struggling. So we're going back on the fact that it probably wasn't, again, a technical issue, because that was kind of what we suggested at first, was, you know, the lack of response from the cockpit would have been because they were trying desperately to fly the plane. But now we're realizing that that's not the case at all. But again, they're saying there's no reason to suspect a terrorist attack. And I'm going to go out on a skinny limb here. I'll just say I'm very confident in my heterosexuality. But this guy not a bad looking guy, pretty handsome, doesn't look like somebody who would be depressed, looks like somebody who would, you know, have a significant other in his life, and it just doesn't make sense to me, I guess is where I'm at with this right now. But those are the newest details that I have for you guys. Again, the co-pilot locking the pilot out of the cabin. You know, and to me, we're not talking about a super big plane here. I would have thought that people in the front row watching the cabin and watching the captain talking on the phone or knocking on the door trying to get in, that would have raised some pretty significant alarm bells in my mind had I been on that flight. So I don't know. I'm kind of with you guys in the chat room. This doesn't really seem to make sense. And I'm with you there. Another comment from the chat room talking about the idea that commercial airliners can be hacked from the ground. The whole thing is that system was deliberate. That was put in intentionally. Raytheon developed that before 9/11. You can go back and find the YouTube videos. But the uninterruptible autopilot was supposedly, you know, patented by Boeing as a response to 9/11, so that under no circumstances whatsoever could a plane be flown into a building again. But this is another question I've got too. After 10 minutes, shouldn't there have been some sort of response? And if this plane, the Airbus 320, did in fact have an uninterruptible autopilot system, why didn't the people who are watching it from the tower, once they see it start going into this unplanned descent, even if it's moderately controlled, you know, you try and raise the captain a couple times, you don't get it, you take over the aircraft. It's post 9/11 2015, is it not? I mean, doesn't that seem like what should have happened in that indication? I don't know. We'll have to talk to Rebecca Roth on that next time we talk about that. Wasn't there a researcher on board? I've heard some things now coming out. This is another question from the chat room to all you guys out there in Radio Land. Another question from the chat room asking about a prominent researcher on board. I haven't actually gotten a chance to look at the manifest yet, so I'm not really entirely sure what is going on. But again, this situation just getting weirder and weirder, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, you couple this with the fact that CERN shut down immediately following that, given some kind of major electrical failure. I don't know. Are they related? Or is it just more chum in the water? Difficult to say. Okay. Speaking of us going to war, yesterday I was all excited because I was going to give you guys this big whole spiel about Saudi Arabia deploying a pretty significant task force to the border with neighboring Yemen. They were announcing this yesterday after the show, so I didn't get an opportunity to talk to you guys about it. But again, yesterday, Saudi Arabia moved a pretty significant force up to the border with Yemen, where right now the Houthi Shiite rebels have allegedly forced the president to leave the country. We've kind of talked about the situation in Yemen deteriorating pretty rapidly over the last couple weeks. I think last week we had the story that after the Houthi rebels had taken over, I think it was Saiz, which is the third largest city in Yemen, that we had pulled all of our special op team out of Yemen. So again, things are going pretty bad there up until, you know, yesterday. And then this morning, beep, 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 coming across the wire here, we are at war now. Yeah, so Saudi Arabia and a coalition of regional allies have launched a military operation in Yemen against the Houthi rebels who deposed the U.S.-backed Yemeni president last month. So Abdel Al-Jaber, who is the Saudi ambassador to the U.S., he said this yesterday, that a coalition consisting of 10 countries, including the Gulf Cooperation Council, had begun airstrikes last night at 7 o'clock p.m. local time. And the operation is to defend and support the legitimate government of Yemen, or, you know, according to reality, the junta that we put in there. But anyway, and prevent the radical Houthi movement from taking over the country. This is, again, Jaber talking to reporters in Washington. The Houthi-run health ministry in Sana'a said that at least 18 civilians were killed and 24 others were wounded in the Saudi-led airstrikes on the capital. Huge explosions were heard in Sana'a as strikes hit an airbase in Sana'a Airport and other locations around the capital, according to an Associated Free Press correspondent. And strikes were also reported on targets in Malhaliz and Hafir Sufyan regions of Sada'a in the main Houthi stronghold on the border with Saudi Arabia. So, citing Saudi military sources and Saudi-owned Al Arabiya TV channel, they reported that 100 Saudi warplanes were involved with the operation, which is called Divisive Storm. The United Arab Emirates is participating with 30 jets, Bahrain with 8, Morocco and Jordan both with 6. Sudan reportedly offered 3 warplanes to assist the operation as well. Kuwait's defense ministry announced it was sending 3 squadrons of its F-18 Super Hornet aircrafts to Saudi King Abdulaziz airbases in Dhahran, to take part as well in this Yemen offensive. And Pakistan, also having longstanding ties to Saudi Arabia, was looking at a request from Riyadh to join the coalition as well. So again, moving forward with war in the region there, Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif demanded an immediate halt to the foreign operation, as Iranian state media called the airstrikes a U.S.-backed aggression. Very interesting that Iran right now, given the fact that we are working side by side with them in Iraq, is still stepping up. Now, normally I would expect, you know, Kamani or somebody to come out and start denouncing the United States and their involvement with this coalition. But the fact that it's not him and it's Zarif himself, who's actually a pretty well-spoken individual, the Iranian foreign minister there, stepping up against this coalition. So, I don't know. I don't know really what's going on there other than, the fact that, we're basically at war again. And of course, if you think we're not supporting our greatest ally in the region, Saudi Arabia, with military arms or some sort of support, you know, that's, you know, you got your head in the sand on that one. So yeah, good times in Yemen. More instability in the region. Not good. Not good right now. And also, the U.S. is currently, this has finally come out in American news sources. This is the only reason I'm bringing this up. The American-led coalition is now launching airstrikes to back up Iranian and Iraqi troops in the key city of Tikrit, according to a U.S. official and him telling this to the Daily Beast. And this is kind of a weird story to me because I had it on pretty good authority that Tikrit was fairly swept of ISIS at this point, that the 20,000 strong militia from Iraq as well as their Iranian counterparts had done a pretty good job over the last weeks of cleaning out Tikrit. But the U.S. defense officials are saying that although the U.S. conducted 15 airstrikes targeting, you know, weapon storage, barracks and things like that, the Iraqi forces as well as their coalition from Iran kind of ran into some trouble when they got into Tikrit because there were a lot of, leftover unexploded ordnances, things like that. So, essentially they got stalled in Tikrit, according to U.S. officials. Now, again, this is not directly coming from Iraq, so it's difficult to say if it's true, but it is showing now that, again, more airstrikes being launched, with a coalition of the U.S., Iran, and, Iraq into Crete, and probably, a dry run looking towards Mosul here in the near future as well. But interesting story now that it's coming out in the mainstream news that we are, in fact, working alongside, our Iranian counterparts there in Iraq. Especially, it's just interesting to me because, you know, at the same time, we're going through all of this stuff with the nuclear resolution with them, and we've got all this spy versus spy stuff going on with Israel. It's just a really interesting situation to watch this all develop. And, I think Iran has really kind of gotten the short end of the stick on a lot of things here. And I think hopefully that, you know, all of these nations that have been under the thumb of the United States is going to eventually, sorry, I totally lost train of thought because I went over to my chat room and I've got a friend in there who is suggesting that perhaps this pilot from this plane crash, the Airbus 320 situation, could have been hypnotized or some kind of Manchurianized candidate. And that's another possibility. You just never know. You just never know. But the fact that a guy who 28, flying all that time, I didn't really go into his background, but he's like an award-winning pilot. He's only got like 600 hours with the German wing air, you know, division or whoever he's flying with, but he's essentially a poster boy for the flight movement, and you know, he's won all kinds of regional awards. He's been wanted to be a pilot since he was a kid, and the fact that his breathing was calm. I don't care how suicidal you are or how resolved you are. If you're getting ready to fly a plane into a mountain, your heart rate's going to go up. Your breath is going to go up. So I'll take that as into consideration, Robert. That was a very good, consideration to be putting out there. Kabul, got some bad news from Kabul. A very powerful blast rocked central Kabul on Wednesday. Security officials have confirmed the explosion, saying at least six people have been killed, 31 others injured. The suicide bombing occurred in Kabul's Murad Khan district in front of the finance ministry and near the city's second police station. So again, More violence erupting in Afghanistan right now. And, you know, what does this have to do? Well, essentially the Taliban leadership there announced that this explosion was the result of Obama's administration's decision to slow the troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. So, you know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy here. So we decide we're not going to slow our troop withdrawal because Ghani was over here. He's the president of Afghanistan. He was over here earlier this week and kind of basically told Barack Obama, hey, it'd be really great if you guys could leave some troops over here. Taliban obviously hears that. Gets upset, blows more stuff up, justifying then the reason for the United States to stay in the region longer. Again, self-fulfilling prophecy. But no good that more suicide attacks going on in Afghanistan right now. Let's hop over into the Ukraine. More confusing stories coming out of there. President Poroshenko signed a decree then relieving the governor, Igor Kolomoisky, from his post, according to the president's website. And this resignation came after a meeting between the two amid the ongoing standoff around the oil giant, NAFTA. So again, this, Kolomoisky guy was put into power by Poroshenko because he's a billionaire oligarch, just like Poroshenko is. But then essentially he didn't really like anything that Poroshenko was doing. So he hired his own, police force, private security guards, not only to guard him, but to guard his oil interests over there in the eastern side. And again, it's coming down to resources right now. So Poroshenko essentially fired this guy the other day because this was – remember, we had that report earlier this week that Poroshenko had given Kolomoisky 24 hours to lay down his arms and to fire all of his private security guards and whatnot. So again – that situation seems to have resolved now, and a new gentleman has been named acting governor of the eastern region, obviously somebody that Poroshenko can get along with better at this point. But just interesting to see not only you know, the turmoil that's being caused at the low level, or the man on the street type level there in Ukraine, but also seeing the oligarchs with some infighting is kind of unusual. And also Ukrainian police entered a government building, a government meeting in Kiev, just yesterday, and in front of cameras, arrested two very high-ranking officials on suspicion of corruption. The two men, the head of the state emergency services and his first deputy, were led from the room in handcuffs, what was clearly a staged move to wreak maximum publicity from the government's drive against corruption. They were detained for alleged graft involving some offshore companies. So again, Ukrainian Prime Minister Yatsenyuk, who spoke to the process investigator before the men were led away, said the interior minister had just informed him of the allegations. Avakov later told journalists that it had been decided to carry out the detentions at the government's meetings as a preventative vaccination against all those corrupt people who sadly number many of us in power. So that's him again, Yatsenyuk's new, who's this Akhnov guy? I'm not even sure. Probably somebody who's representing Yatsenyuk. But anyway, some public arrests going on with the high government officials there at a meeting in front of the cameras. So trying to send a message out that the corruption supposedly coming to an end there in the Ukraine. We'll wonder if that's actually going to happen or not. Some news from Russia and Jordan. Russia has signed a $10 billion agreement with Jordan for the construction of the country's first nuclear power plant. Jordan currently lacks local energy sources and struggles to meet its own current electricity demand. The agreement between Russia's state-run Rosatom and the Jordan Atomic Energy Commission was signed Tuesday in Amman, and the contract is for the construction of a two-unit, 2,000-megawatt power plant in the north of the country by 2022. Jordan right now currently imports about 95% of its energy needs at a cost of about 25% of its GDP, according to the data from the World Nuclear Association. Practically all of the electricity generated in Jordan today comes from power plants using imported oil and gas. So the demand for electricity is growing by more than 7% annually due to a rising population and industrial expansion. So Jordan wants to develop its nuclear power to meet the increasing demand. Are we going to see knives go out against Jordan now? Are they trying to develop nuclear weapons? Are they going to, you know, are we going to put them under the thumb? Waiting to see what happens here. It's neat to see that that Russia has kind of worked its way into the region, though, as well as China. We had a report. I think Pakistan just put one of the largest solar projects to work just a couple of weeks ago. At you know, and it was a major Chinese investment. So interesting to see the major players of the world start getting into the region here, because then they're going to have a lot of active interest in defending this infrastructure. So again, this nuclear plant is expected to satisfy Jordan's entire electricity demand and possibly even export electricity to Syria and Iraq, Its first unit is supposed to be commissioned in 2024 and the second in 2026. This is a $10 billion project, will be the largest Russian-Jordanian deal to date, and Jordan will own a controlling stake by providing 50.1% of the funding, and the rest of the money is coming from Russia. Last month, Russia and Egypt signed a moratorium of understanding, a memorandum of understanding, excuse me, to build that country's first nuclear power plant during President Vladimir Putin's visit to Cairo. And also this year, Rosatom agreed to build two reactors in Hungary and plans to build more facilities in Iran in addition to the Bashar plant that Russia completed in 2011. So again, we see these huge, huge international powers getting more and more of a vested interest in the region, which just complicates things in terms of all the relationships that are going on there. It's just interesting to see all of this stuff kind of developing, trying to keep you guys all up to date on what is going on. Let's jump over into some national news right now, getting into the U.S. I got some great news if you're into this sort of thing. Heidi Cruz, the managing director at Goldman Sachs Group Incorporated in Houston, has now taken an unpaid leave from her private wealth management job to help with her husband's campaign for U.S. presidency, according to a person familiar with the matter. So Ted Cruz, 44, Republican senator from Texas, said on Twitter early Monday morning that he plans to run for president in the 2016 election. I've been yelling from the rooftop, trying to remind people who his wife is. It's convenient now that this has come out because Heidi Cruz, obviously not a very great person there. 42, she's a Harvard Business graduate, worked in President George Bush's administration, joined Goldman Sachs in 2005, was promoted as managing director, the firm's second highest rank in 2012. She serves as the regional head of the Houston office in the private wealth management unit, which serves individuals and families who on average have more than $40 million with the firm. So again, you have to wonder what these two people talk about at the dinner table at night. Could you possibly get to the second highest rank in Goldman Sachs without being essentially somebody who worships Satan? I mean, seriously, I don't know how else to say it. You're talking about somebody who's destroyed the economy through derivatives and things like that. There's nobody more responsible than Heidi Cruz, as far as I'm concerned. And so, conveniently enough, she's trying to pull herself out of the limelight while Ted Cruz is deciding that he's going to run for president. Oh, we got a break sneaking up on us here. Appreciate you guys hanging out. We got more news from the national scene. Come back. We've got some economic stuff as well as some science and health news. Keep it right here. We've got a 3-minute break, and then after the next half hour, Deborah Tavares will be here. Keep it right here, guys. We'll be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Calling on long wave.
The Chris Everard Show.
Sundays. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for hanging out through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys for hanging out in the chat room, full crowd in there today. Absolutely really love having you guys in there. What a great format, being able to get questions from you guys and also to get comments for the guest. Again, just as a reminder, Deborah Tavares is going to be joining us in about a half an hour. It's time to get your pens and papers ready because you're going to want to take notes. She is really at the top of the heap in terms of fighting against Agenda 21 and keeping us up to date on what exactly is going on around us. So I just want to put that bug back out there again. Loving you guys today. Okay, let's hop back into the news. Obviously, this Heidi Cruz situation, she's trying to pull herself out of the spotlight as Ted Cruz is getting ready to run. Don't worry, though. I will continually remind you guys just about how skeptical I am over Mr. Ted Cruz and his agenda, especially given the fact that he's married to Heidi. So, okay, Bo Bergdahl, here we go. This is the big one that came out over the news cycle this morning. This is obviously going back. I don't know if you guys even remember Bo Bergdahl, but he was the U.S. soldier who slipped away from the patrol base in Afghanistan back in 2009 and then was allegedly held in captivity for 5 years. He has officially now, as of this morning, been charged with desertion and misbehaving before the enemy, which sounds like a very silly thing, misbehaving before the enemy. But Army officials did say this just yesterday, setting the stage again for some emotionally charged court proceedings in the coming months. The charges were announced by the service at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, hours after the 28-year-old was handed a charge sheet, according to one of his attorneys. Bergdahl will face a preliminary Article 32 hearing, which is frequently compared to a grand jury proceeding in civil court. If convicted, he actually faces the possibility now of life in prison. The Army's decision comes after nearly 10 months of debate about whether Bergdahl should face charges and about the circumstances of his recovery. Critics and an independent review by the Government Accountability Office said President Barack Obama broke the law when he authorized the release of 5 Taliban detainees held by the United States in exchange for Bergdahl without consulting Congress. Others have insisted that Washington had a responsibility to bring Bergdahl home by any means necessary. Army officials declined Wednesday to elaborate on the decisions they made, citing the currently ongoing investigation. The charges were authorized by General Mark Milley, who is the commanding general of the U.S. Army Base Command. The court proceedings will be held at a joint base in San Antonio, Fort Sam, Houston, in Texas, where Bergdahl has served since shortly after U.S. Special Operations teams whisked him away from his captors on a helicopter in Afghanistan on May 31st as part of the prisoner swap. Previously discharged from the Coast Guard for psychological reasons, he is widely believed to have been struggling with his mission in Afghanistan and to have walked away under the cover of darkness on June 30th, 2009. The investigation of Bergdahl's disappearance was launched last June with Major Gen Kenneth Dahl interviewing the sergeant in Texas in August, and it is believed that Dahl's findings, although not yet released, will play a prominent role and serve as evidence in Bergdahl's court case. So many of those in his unit have been waiting years to see the Army acknowledge potential wrongdoings by Bergdahl. This is according to Nathan B. Bethia. He's 30. He is a former Army captain in New York who was deployed with Bergdahl's battalion when he went missing. The desertion charges carry a maximum punishment of 5 years in prison, along with a possible reduction in rank and loss of pay and allowances. But the charge of misbehavior before the enemy carries a maximum punishment of confinement for life, a dishonorable discharge, a reduction to private, and a total forfeiture of pay and allowances since the time of his disappearance. Remember, he was supposed to get 5 years of back pay. It would have come out to about $250,000. I imagine now that this court case that is upcoming is probably going to put a hamper on that. But interesting now that, you know, several months after the incident, he's finally being charged with desertion. And what does that mean for the five Taliban leaders that we let go? Where are they at now? I guess would be the question that everybody wants to know. Who are they leading? And, you know, statistically, it's pretty likely that they would have returned to the battlefield. So I don't know. Probably it's just another situation where the law was broken and nobody seems to give a damn, I guess, is where we're at with this whole thing. A little bit of news about Mr. Jeb Bush right now. This isn't nearly as bad as everything that Hillary is going through, but the newest wrinkle in an involving debate over public officials' use of private emails, it's now been disclosed that Jeb Bush had actually used another previously unreported email address when he was governor of Florida, according to newly disclosed records. Now, apparently there's no indication that this other account was used for any improper or secretive things, but its existence on the whole, and the mystery surrounding it, again, show the potential complications when public officials like Bush and Clinton use private email accounts to conduct public business. So this particular email address was not the typical Jeb at Jeb.org. He was using a separate email address. What was it? Now I can't find it. But anyway, wasn't his normal one. He did send every single piece of correspondence that he received at the alternative email address back through the Jeb at Jeb.org. So all of them are traceable according to the White House right now. So again, not nearly as bad as the Hillary debacle, but again, another person I don't want to see anywhere near the political spectrum, you know, coming up here in the future. Okay, let's see. Here's kind of here's an unprecedented event right now. A police officer is actually being charged for homicide after shooting an unarmed man. This happened in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania, and this police officer has again been charged with criminal homicide in the fatal shooting of a South Hanover Township man last month. Dauphin County District Attorney Ed Marsico said the following. A state police investigation, he concluded that the 36-year-old Lisa Merkel was not justified in using deadly force when she shot 59-year-old David Kasich. So, long story short, Mr. Kasich, was being, pulled over because he had an expired inspection sticker. So again, didn't actually break a law, a victimless crime here. He got pulled over. He, instead of actually stopping for the officer, he drove to his sister's house, got out, ran away on foot. So again, not being a threat to the officer. When you're running away from an officer, you're not actually a threat to the officer. And this is kind of where I get into, this is why we need to readdress the training that these people go through. But anyway, so Merkel, the police officer, chases Kasich, shoots him in the back with her stun gun, right? So he falls face first into the snow and was lying face down on the ground. And Merkel orders him to show her his hands while she's continuing to stun this guy in the back. So this guy, obviously getting 40,000 volts through him, makes it difficult to do anything, you know, with your extremities. But while he's flailing about, either trying to get the stun gun barbs out of his back or just, you know, essentially reacting to 40,000 volts, she decides it'd be a good time to shoot him twice in the back. So that's what she did. He died at the scene, even though she did perform CPR, which is commendable. But again, she ordered him to show his hands. She was still using the stun gun as she fired the first and second shot from her service revolver into his back. So right now, obviously the criminal homicide encompasses a pretty wide range of charges. It could be a misdemeanor, involuntary manslaughter, all the way up to felony first degree murder. So prosecutors are probably going to narrow this charge down. But, you know, this needs to be a warning across the bow, a warning shot across the bow for people out there, law enforcement officers, that you guys need to get a handle on when you're actually under threat and when you're not. When a guy is trying to run away and you're trying to arrest him for having an expired sticker on his car, you're the one that's in command of that situation. That's your job to de-escalate this so that it doesn't get to a point. You're not going to win a hero badge from, you know, getting an extra $125 out of this poor guy who probably doesn't have the money to get his sticker updated in the first place, right? Or maybe has an outstanding bench warrant for running a stop sign, which is why he ran away from you. There has to be a protocol put into place to deal with this kind of thing, because again, this guy was not a threat and ends up losing his life over an expired sticker, which has no bearing in reality. You don't need a sticker to drive your car. That's traveling. This is if you want to. So she's shooting him for commerce. We went over all this with Clint Richardson. If you missed that show yesterday, I'd highly recommend going back and checking out the archives, because, you know, this is it. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about use of force for no reason whatsoever, for victimless crime enforcement, and people are losing their lives over it. And there's got to be a better way to deal with this stuff. There just has to be. Okay. I gotta give a warning too. This really bums me out. Who's in the chat room? Wolf in there today? No, he's not. Okay. This happened in Wallace, Idaho, which is right across the border from, Washington State, very close to where Chris and Cherie live, which is why I wanted to bring this up. But deputies right now today are searching for people, and by people, I mean freaking idiots. And if I ever catch somebody doing something this stupid, you're not going to have to worry about law enforcement catching you. I'll tell you that right now. Authorities say that a group of people thought it would apparently be a really fun idea to take plastic wrap and to stretch it across the overpass on the highway. We're talking about I-90 right next to Kingston exit there, as you get over the border into Idaho, right? So these people went to an overpass and they stretched plastic wrap across the road, right? This could have been very, 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 very bad, right? One car had its windshield shattered. A lot of other cars were very, very extensively damaged. Plastic wrap is really comparable to water. If you hit it at close range, it doesn't do a lot of damage. But if you're hitting it at high speed, it's not going to give. That could rip the top off your car. More specifically, it would absolutely kill somebody on a motorcycle. I mean, this is not a joke. This is absolutely asinine that some idiot kids out there would think that this was a funny idea. They're lucky right now that the motorcyclists aren't out in mass up in Washington yet because the weather's not good. But I just wanted to point out that we are surrounded by idiots, and some of them are sadistic, and some of them do not understand causality. This is absolutely... they could have killed somebody. They could have taken a motorcycle's head off, in 1 second flat. And all these kids would have ruined their lives forever, all for the sake of a prank or just trying to see what would happen. Golly, this is just absolutely unbelievable that something like this would go on. So I'm just kind of throwing this out there. You know, I'm a biker. My dad's a biker. There's other bikers that listen to this show. Be safe out there. Keep your head up. People are stupid and sadistic, and I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that this actually happened there up in Washington State on the Idaho border. Exactly. Obsidian asking the question, what drugs were these people on? I don't even think that's a drug issue. I think that's just plain old stupidity and not understanding causality and what could actually not think. I mean, you got to take 5 seconds and think, what would happen if somebody hits this thing? You're talking about families driving down the road. I mean, it's just such a gross case of negligence. I don't even know where to go from here. Okay. Since we're on the American news right now, I want to give you guys some pretty strange facts about America that you guys might be shocked about. I was reading this thing and I had no idea when I was reading this that all of these are actually accurate statistics from America. Okay. Did you guys know that one quarter of the global prison population is in the United States? I did not know that. Did you know that Apple, the company Apple, has more money than the U.S. Treasury? Did you know that if you have no debt and you also have $10 in your wallet, that you are wealthier than 25% of all Americans? Did you know that by the time an American child reaches the age of 18, that child will have seen approximately 40,000 murders on television? So there are obviously some things that are pretty great about the United States, but there's some things that we could probably improve upon here, guys. Once upon a time, we were the most beloved nation on the entire planet, and those days are long gone. We have wrecked our economy. We have lost our values. We have fumbled away our future. And if you look close enough, you can still see many of the things that made this country a shining beacon to the rest of the world. We're going to go through some of those things right now, but also some weird facts that just kind of put things into some perspective for you guys. Listen to this. The amount of cement that China used between 2011 and 2013 was greater than the total amount of cement the United States used during the entire 20th century. does that not put the expansion of China into perspective? That is a staggering, staggering statistic. Here's another one. In more than half of all U.S. states, the highest paid public employee of the state is a football coach. True, true story. It costs the United States government 1.8 cents to mint a penny and 9.4 cents to mint a nickel. Almost half of all Americans, 47%, do not put a single penny out of their paychecks into savings. In 2014, police in the United States killed 1,100 people. During that same year, police in Canada killed 14, police in China killed 12, and police in Germany, well, they didn't kill anybody at all. The state of Alaska is 429 times larger than the state of Rhode Island, but Rhode Island has a significantly larger population than Alaska. Alaska also has a longer coastline than all of the other 49 states put together. I did not know that. When LBJ's war on poverty began, less than 10% of all children were growing up in a single-parent household. Today, that number has skyrocketed to more than 33%. In 1950, less than 5% of all babies in America were born to unmarried parents. Today, that number is well over 40%. Yeah. Poverty rate for households that are led by a married couple is 6.8%. For households that are led by a female single parent, the poverty rate is 37.1%. In 2013, women earned 60% of all bachelor degrees that were awarded that year in the United States. According to the CDC, 34.6% of all men are obese at this point. The average supermarket in the United States wastes about 3,000 pounds of food every year. Right now, more than 200 million people around the planet are officially considered to be unemployed. Meanwhile, approximately 20% of the garbage that goes into our landfills is food. In the city of Bangladesh, called Dhaka, there are workers that are paid $1 for every 1,000 bricks that they carry. Meanwhile, the inactivity rate for men in their prime working years in the United States is hovering near record high levels. According to one recent survey, 81% of Russians now have a negative view of the United States. That is much, much higher than it was at the end of the Cold War era. Montana has three times as many cows as it does people. The grizzly bear is the official state. Is the official state animal of California, but no grizzly bears have been seen there since 1922. This one's interesting. One recent survey discovered that a steady job is the number one thing that American women are looking for in a husband. And another survey discovered that 75% of women would have a serious problem dating an unemployed man. According to a study conducted by the economists Carl Benedict Frey and engineer Michael Osborne, 40% of the jobs in the United States could soon be lost to robots, computers, and other forms of technology. Here's one last one here. 86% of men include having children in their definition of success. For women, that number is only 73%. More men include having children in their definition of success than women here in the United States. I found that to be really interesting. Some other really interesting facts that I won't go all through all of them, but just thought that was worth touching on there. Let's jump over into the economy here right now and find out what the markets are doing. We'll see if there's been any change to the price of oil, given the fact that we're now at war with Yemen. I don't want to necessarily say it's us at war with Yemen, but it's us. We're at war with Yemen. Just saying. Let's see. The Dow currently down about 30 points, so relatively flat. S&P also down about 3 points. Nope, just bumped to 4 points down. So 2,049 is the S&P. The Dow sitting currently at 17,690. The German DAX is down about 113 points right now. The dollar index is staying pretty flat right at that 97 mark. We're up just a touch today, but not enough to really note. And same kind of movement with the euro against the dollar right now. The euro up a touch from yesterday, but still right at about 1.09. Baltic Dry Index, if truth is out there, maybe he can grab that for us. I'll do the gold prices up today above $1,200. So we're at $1,204 for a bright shiny ounce of gold. And silver sitting at $17.09. Let's go check out what the oil market is doing right now. Oil is up, I guess. I guess on the impending war news here. Oil up to $50.42, up about 3% today. BDI, truth coming through in the clutch in the chat room. BDI, 598 on the 25th. No new posting today. I'm having that same issue. I don't know what it is about the live streams from the BDI. They just do not seem to be updated nearly as often as we would like them to be around here. Is there anything else? Bitcoin, taking a fall here. We're down to about 250 on the Bitcoin market right now for all you Bitcoin heads out there. That's what I know about the big indices. So let's move over and find out what's actually going on specifically in the market. China right now and UK have teamed up. UK has become the first country in Europe now to open a yuan-dominated money market fund, cutting out the middleman for investing in China. The exchange-traded fund is now listed on the London Stock Exchange with trading available in pounds, euro, and yuan, according to the British government. So this now allows investors direct access to China's interbank lending market instead of going through an intermediary. And China's second largest lender, China Construction Bank International, will be home to the money market fund, supported also by Britain's HSBC and Germany's Commerce Bank. In 2014, the same bank was granted permission to process transactions in yuan, making it more convenient for companies in the UK to use the Chinese currency. So London now, a global financial center rival to New York or Hong Kong, has been obviously courting China and its banks to start doing more business in London with the yuan. So last year, Britain was the first country in the West to issue a yuan-denominated bond. And China now, the world's second largest economy, has been pushing the yuan as a rival to the dollar in the global financial system since about 2010. And last year, the Bank of China opened up the yuan clearing hubs in London and Frankfurt. As of January of 2015, the yuan was the fifth most used currency in international payments. And the next obstacle for the yuan is becoming an IMF reserve currency. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, that that is going to happen. And if I had to put a date and a time on it, I would be looking at October right now. I'm just saying. Earlier this month, UK became a founding member of the China-led Asia Development Bank, the first major Western country to support the project. France, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Luxembourg, and others quickly followed suit, ultimately forcing the U.S. to accept its emergence as a rival to the World Bank. Also, we had a little bit of conjecture yesterday about Japan potentially becoming involved. Again, the deadline for inclusion in the AIIB is the 31st day of March. So after that point, you will still be able to become a member, but you will be what is considered a common member and not a founding member. Again, we had that little story yesterday, Japan, starting to consider whether or not they're going to be involved. Also, South Korea having to make some hard and fast decisions here at this point because they're kind of stuck between a rock and the United States at this point. Also, since we're talking about the AIIB, Austria just threw their hat into the ring yesterday. They're now looking to join the China-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, according to Chinese news agencies just yesterday. So this is, again, the latest European nation to invest in the bank, which is now seen as a future rival of the U.S.-based World Bank, although that is not true because Washington, as I kind of hinted to the other day, recently shifted its tone towards the AIIB, which at first was seen as a rival to the U.S.-led World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the Manila-based Asian Development Bank, which is dominated by Japan and the U.S. Previous reports implied that there was going to be a negative reaction from Washington. However, it is now proposed to work with and in partnership with the AIIB, according to the Wall Street Journal. U.S. officials have been skeptical, expressing fears that it may undermine the World Bank and the IMF. However, the Chinese finance minister gave assurances that the AIIB will not compete with the existing international organizations, but will instead reinforce them. So the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, and Asian Development Bank have also expressed now their support for the China-led infrastructure bank. In fact, IMF Chief Christine Lagarde said on Sunday this week that the fund would be quote-unquote delighted to cooperate with the AIIB. So there you go, the entire world shifting over to the AIIB, just as we predicted, ladies and gentlemen, just as we predicted. Okay, a little bit more stuff going on right now. The former Greek finance minister was handed a suspended one-year prison sentence on Tuesday this week after being found guilty of tampering with a Swiss bank account, according to a court source there. The special court found that the 53-year-old, again, former Greek finance minister, he was guilty of removing the names of family members from the list of 2,000 Greeks with accounts in the British bank HSBC in Switzerland. So the charge was reduced from a felony to a misdemeanor, because it's a great job if you can get it, ladies and gentlemen. He was also cleared on a breach of duty in tampering with the data. So the list had been sent to him by Christine Lagarde and to the International Monetary Fund at the time that the French finance minister was there. So anyway, suspended one-year prison sentence for tampering with the bank accounts there at HSBC. And of course, he's the former Greek finance minister. So no harm, no foul. gone from a felony to a misdemeanor. Again, great job if you can get it, ladies and gentlemen, which I apparently don't have. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Let's move on to, I got some good news. You guys are going to like this. Moving into the science and tech stuff. The military's robotic ghost ship has passed all of its critical tests. Now, wait a minute, you might be thinking, the military has an autonomous robotic ghost ship? Well, yes. It's funny that you should ask. The autonomous sub-hunting ship has apparently passed its important technological milestones, and the oceans, again, will never be the same. In 2010, the DARPA agency announced that they were building a 132-foot autonomous boat to track quiet diesel-powered submarines, and the project was dubbed Anti-Submarine Warfare Continuous Trial Unmanned Vessel, or UCTUV. And to little notice, the system earlier this year passed a critical test, moving much closer to actual deployment and potentially changing not just naval warfare, but the way humans, ships, and robotic systems interact across the world's waters. So yeah, great news on that front. Our secret robotic autonomous military vessel apparently passing all of its required. Great news. Great news. Yeah, that's what we need more of in the world is autonomous military ghost ships. But apparently, that's what's going on. Also, NASA up in arms right now. Probably ought to talk about this because we may not be here tomorrow. Apparently, a huge 1,000-wide meteor-wide asteroid is due to pass by the Earth. Very close proximity, leaving a lot of scientists scared that an unprecedented disaster is in store for us. Good news is it won't happen until tomorrow. So we got plenty of time to make plans here. The asteroid is named 2014 YB35. It is supposed to skim past the Earth on Friday at the paltry speed of 23,000 miles per hour. According to the Express in the UK, they say small meteorites often pass close by. However, this one is a pretty big size, and this is kind of a one in every 5,000-year type occurrence. A collision with Earth would unleash an explosive force equivalent to more than 15,000 million tons or 15,000 megatons of TNT. So any impact would obviously trigger devastating changes in the climate, earthquakes, and tsunamis, leading to the eradication of entire communities, if not the species of the Earth. So we'll just leave on that high note here. We're going to go ahead and get ready to go to this break. Really appreciate you guys hanging out with me today. Huh, who knows, we may get hit by an asteroid tomorrow. There's always that that possibility, I guess, right? Anyway, going to this break. Appreciate you guys all hanging out in the chat room. It's lovely to see you all. And when we come back, Deborah Tavares, the one and only, will be joining us on the radio show. Get your questions ready. Get your pens and papers ready. Be ready to take some notes. Going to get in some heavy, heavy stuff here. Deborah Tavares joining us in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. Keep it here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break and for all of you guys hanging out in the chat room. Really, really can't tell you guys how much we appreciate you there hanging out at truthfrequencyradio.com and listening to the show and sharing it with your friends. A lot of important guests we bring on to the program, but probably none more important than Deborah Tavares, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure she does not need a super big introduction. She's obviously somebody who has been at the forefront of gathering information and fighting back against the encroachment of Agenda 21 and all of its ancillary issues that go along with it. She's been mounting this fight for such a long time and is probably one of the most well-documented researchers on the internet and in the world, ladies and gentlemen. It's very much my privilege to be welcoming Deborah back to the program today. So Deborah, without further ado, thank you very much for joining us again on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Well, thank you so much, JD, for having me on. There's so much that I need to cover. And everyone that's listening, again, my website is stopthecrime.net. I'm going to be flying through documents, and so for those that can print documents off of our site, they are available to you for free. However, if you cannot download, you can contact a printing company, and for the cost of printing and shipping, you can obtain these documents by calling area code 707-586-9558. Once again, area code 707-586-9558. You need to be well documented. So as you go forward with the call of action that we would recommend all of you do, you are well prepared and you take documents with you so that when you go to various meetings, you can stand behind evidence, and that is absolutely required because, sadly, we won't learn this in school. We haven't, and we are being taken down systematically by our ignorance of what is real.
Yes.
So to that point, I just want to make this beginning foundational reality. We all know, at least we should by now, that it's an established fact that the United States federal government was resolved by the Emergency Banking Act of March 9, 1933, under President Roosevelt.
Yes.
And what happened? The receivers of this concocted, falsified theft of America's gold were the international bankers and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. In other words, Rothschild and Company were the receivers of this falsified bankruptcy. That is why when I type in my utility company here in Northern California, which is Pacific Gas and Electric, and I type in PG&E followed by Rothschild, I find that Rothschild's CEO is on the board of PG&E.
Wow.
Now, something else that I've got to point out, and everyone needs to listen very, very carefully. I had presented this in a YouTube that I've released some while back, and I would recommend that all of you listen to Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. Again, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. It's loaded with documents, and this is going to be a topic that I'm going to get into quickly in a moment, because certainly being here in California and being told by NASA experts that California has only 1 year of water left should be of major concern.
Yes.
Because this is engineered, and again, this is falsified science on the reality of water. We're going to get into that. But before I do, it's essential that everyone understand what I'm going to say right now that is documented. We do not have a functioning structure in which we have any representation.
Mm-hmm.
That includes going to the judiciary, to any court structure, hiring an attorney. This includes what you believe is representation for justice in the court structure. There is nothing there for us other than a tremendous extraction of your hard-earned resources with the illusion that your attorney is going to bring you a verdict or a decision that's going to be on your behalf. And this is why we lose, 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 and lose.
Yes.
Because the American Bar Association has said this, and this is extremely important, and you can find this again. This is a document within that YouTube, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. I'm going to read to you some of the resolutions that the American Bar has made so that you understand what we are standing on top of. Absolute, absolute treason, okay, with all the bar attorneys. It's important to understand. Bar attorneys, bar is British Accreditation Regency. Important to know that they told us this in this resolution, American Bar Association on Environment, Energy, and Resources, of state and local government law. Again, this is statutory law.
Uh-huh.
This is corporate law. So they say, be it resolved that the American Bar Association recognizes that good governance and rule of law are essential to achieving sustainable development. Okay, we're going to go on. Resolved that the American Bar Association reaffirms its 1991 commitment to sustainable development and adopts the internationally accepted concept of sustainable development as recognized by the United Nations Conference on the Environment and Development in 1992. That would be at the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit.
Uh-huh.
And subsequent international conferences, simultaneous achievement of environmental protection, economic development, social development, and peace for present and future generations. Further resolved that the American Bar Association encourages governments, including U.S. federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial bodies, as well as businesses, non-governmental organizations, and other entities to promote sustainable development, including by adopting and implementing appropriate measures with respect to their own facilities and activities. Further resolved that the American Bar Association urges the U.S. government to meet the targets and timetables for sustainable development that are contained in the plan of implementation adopted at the World Summit on Sustainable Development in Johannesburg, South Africa, in September of 2002, that are applicable to the United States, to which the United States agreed. Further resolved that the American Bar Association should enter into appropriate partnerships, these are corporations,
yes,
with governments, including U.S., federal, state, local, tribal, territorial bodies, as well as with businesses, non-governmental organizations, and other entities to help foster sustainable development and to help achieve the targets and timetables that are contained in the Johannesburg Plan of Implementation. Further resolved that the American Bar Association should consider and promote sustainable development principles in the work of its entities and encourage communication and cooperative action That's lawsuits, guys.
Wow.
Among its entities to better understand and promote the principles of sustainable development to relevant fields of law. Okay, so this hopefully will put a different baseline on what we consider to be justice. The entire justice system has signed on to false science of global warming. And what this is really doing is creating complete new markets to make money. This is all based on fraudulent policies and building up from fraud for new markets, just as I have been explaining with the plans in all of our cities that require that we reduce our greenhouse gas emissions.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Northern California, we're required to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions 25% below 1990 levels, and the target date is at the end of 2015.
Yeah, this year.
What is this going to look like? This is going to look like code enforcement, giving people fines and penalties if they do not meet the first tier of three to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in our homes, buildings. What this really means, and I've said this before, as a builder of over 30 years, what this really means is every building throughout the country is non-compliant to meet the new required energy codes that are being adopted by all of your cities right now in your general plan updates. Your general plan updates are occurring now, and they are being facilitated by consensus building corporations.
Huh?
That are being hired by your cities to come in and draft new codes that are going to implement these required reductions based on fraudulent, false, corrupt science of greenhouse gas reductions.
Is this going to be when we start seeing the green police come out, Deborah? I mean, is that what we're talking about with regulators walking around?
That's absolutely what we're talking about, mm-hmm. JD. In fact, the new green economy is all about implementing restrictions. That's what it is, because it's being built upon nothing but fraud.
Hmm.
It is a virtual reality. It's a non-existent reality that we're building new markets. And sadly, in schools, our children are all learning that global warming is a fact.
Right.
So now I just can't underscore everyone that's listening right now to watch the YouTube we did, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. And also the other one that we did, Who is Running America and the Climate Action Plans? Who is Running America and the Climate Action Plans? Now I'm going to jump into water, because now you know that the legal system is representing the corporate structure of false science to bring in new markets and make untold amounts of money for the legal structure on fining and penalizing and creating massive amounts of revenue as they implode our ability to survive in our homes. This
mm-hmm.
is what this is all about. This is an implosion of private property ownership, and we know that that is not intended in the reports of the UN policies, or Agenda 21, as people call it. Now, I like to bridge Agenda 21 with the understanding that UN Agenda 21 is coming straight out of the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. via executive orders. Now I'm going to jump into water, because we all need to work on this. We have a website entitled primarywater.org,
mm-hmm.
primarywater.org. We have some extremely important information there for all of you. You must help your children and educate them about the water science, the facts of water. We do not have scarce water resources. In fact, primary water is why we do not have a water shortage at all. And what we're seeing now is the psychological warfare being waged in the media. And I was looking at many newspapers that were dated March 18th of 2015, and I'm talking about the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle, for example, again, dated March 18th of 2015. all on the same day, the front page of the Chronicle says stricter limits on water use, new rules to affect homes, restaurants, and hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Same day, the front page of the LA Times says fewer seats at the water table. Overpumping in the Central Valley is hastening the day when readily available supplies are used up. Now, just prior to this, and there's many papers, all on the same day, front page coverage on water resources drying up in California. Now, what we saw in Brazil, this is a news article back on February 23rd of 2015. It says taps run dry in Brazil's biggest city as drought bites.
Uh-huh.
Goes on to say it must have the world's biggest water supply and the seventh biggest economy, but that's not enough to keep water running during the country's worst stretch of drought since the 1930s. They're experiencing heavy water rationing in Brazil right now, and the people are falling for the illusion of scarcity. Scarcity meets their genocide program. Any time at all, they can create an illusion when there's an abundance. People will die. People will suffer. People will lose their properties. Farms and ranches are literally being sold now for peanuts on the dollar because people are under the illusion they do not have water. It goes on to say that in the Central Valley of the San Joaquin Valley in Central California, their water allocations were cut to zero. This occurred in February of 2015. They will receive and have not received any water allotments from state or federal agencies. This means California Aqueduct is not delivering water. Their only source of water right now in one of the most abundant producing agriculture regions in the state, and certainly is representative of a huge amount of food resources for the rest of the country, the water has been cut to zero. They're pumping water now from wells. Now, we're going to talk about this because on the front page of the LA Times, and this was extremely disturbing, and this is why we must understand the media psyops. In fact, there's an excellent YouTube I highly recommend everybody listen to. It's called Psy War, P-S-Y-W-A-R. Understand the psychological conditioning, mind control, and programming that is going on to lead us from the influence of fear campaign and fear-mongering into giving up our property and literally walking away into these planned mega cities of chaos and increased turmoil. But on March the 12th of 2015, the LA Times carried this article. It said that California has about 1 year of water left. Will you ration now? And this is from a scientist from NASA. NASA is not working for us.
Right.
NASA is a corporate agency. You must understand the nefarious corporate agencies that are asset stripping us and stealing everything about what all of us were led to believe in school was a country of freedom and opportunity. No, absolutely not. We have been certainly deceived by lack of education.
Yes.
Now, what we did most recently, and I would recommend that you do it as well, we went on a special assignment and drove through the San Joaquin Valley in specific areas, smaller communities, smaller farms. We distributed flyers on the true water science. And primary water is water that is certainly in abundance. Water is a renewable, and we must teach everybody the real water facts. And it's up to all of us. We will not hear this in the media at all. And I would recommend, again, go to primarywater.org. We have two YouTubes up. Primary Water Explained is an extremely important YouTube. I'm interviewing and going over an illustration with a primary water expert that has been drilling for primary water wells all over the world for 40-plus years.
Wow.
And primary water is created deep within the earth from the synthesis in the process of hydrogen and oxygen. And it pushes this vapor upwards through rock fissures, through the weakest areas of the Earth's crust, and it becomes liquid as it cools. And primary water's forced upward. It's important to understand the deception. We've all been taught that water comes from rain and snowmelt. No, rain and snowmelt comes from primary water.
Uh-huh.
And we are drinking atmospheric polluted water. Our IQs are suffering. We are greatly diminished with our ability to think because of the polluted water. Now they want to treat our water, the polluted sewer water, and give it back to us.
Yeah.
This is insanity, but this is massive new markets to lead all of us to believe we have contaminated the water resources. Now we've dried the water resources up. Now we're going to have water treatment plants, which are springing up all over the country. Rothschild and Rockefeller and others are behind all of this.
Deborah, can I just want to interrupt and just ask your opinion about all. There's been a lot of reports lately coming out too, talking about the long-standing policy of using the empty frack wells to put, you know, toxic waste and all kinds of all of the stuff that they don't want the EPA to know about. Apparently, since the 1960s, they have been just using those empty frack wells as storage facilities for nuclear waste and all of that stuff. So at the same time they're trying to tell us that the water is going away, they're actively poisoning the water table, I mean, pretty much across the whole country.
Well, yes, that's absolutely a fact. And, in fact, that's why I continue to recommend everybody listen to the YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. J.D., we talk about the hundreds of toxic dump sites, an invisible form of disguising and getting rid of toxic materials. This was all part of what they told us in the Iron Mountain Report.
That's right.
To literally reduce the population on an annual basis. And, yes, this they have been poisoning the planet for decades, decades, and decades intentionally to call it global warming, to blame mm-hmm. it on us. So that they could create the fix, the remedy, for all of the damage that they, the controllers, have created.
That's right. Hegelian dialect. It's the same old problem, reaction, solution. Same old motif.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what we really need now is to learn the truth about water. This is good news. I keep telling people this is the best news, the best remedy of the water grabbing of public water resources that is happening right now in the United States. Is to get these flyers that we have available for free downloads on primarywater.org. They're half-page, double-sided flyers. You can create your own as you would like as well, of course. We're also putting large magnetic signs on the sides of our vehicles that say Primary Water, why we do not have a water shortage, and the website,
mm-hmm.
primarywater.org. These signs can be ordered at 707-586-9558. I would recommend that you consider banner hangs. Certainly go out to the rural areas. Your neighbors that are producing your food supply are being targeted, and they're not understanding, certainly not being told, about the abundance of water. We simply need to get to the primary water, and that's why Primary Water Explained will discuss the opportunities of accessing that water. It's, in many cases, very easy to access. It is new water that has never been exposed to the environment, to the atmosphere. And there also is an extremely important book that you can download at primarywater.org entitled New Water for a Thirsty World, written by Michael Salzman. And the foreword was written by Aldous Huxley. So I would recommend everybody read that. Primarywater.org links to the primarywaterinstitute.org, primarywaterinstitute.org. And you can read all about the evidence, the facts of primary water. You can certainly understand what happened to Muammar Gaddafi
uh-huh.
when he created the Great Man-Made River Project. You can just Google that, the Great Man-Made River Project. It was the eighth wonder of the world.
That's right.
While drilling for oil, they hit water.
Oops.
The people did not want to live in the desert, so he brought the water to Libya. It served 70% of the Libyan population for free.
Uh-huh.
And it was an amazing feat. You can watch it being built. It's just a beautiful site, which was bombed by the U.S. and NATO when we hit and attacked Libya.
That's right.
And also why Israel was able to populate and flourish, because they met with primary water experts in the 50s and accessed primary water. Oh. So we must educate ourselves on the water facts. Just like petroleum, we were deceived for profits by Rockefeller, who made tremendous amounts of money. And then Rockefeller and Rothschild merged their efforts in about 2012. And so this massive amount of money that is behind the fraudulent deception of lawyers that represent us, the fraudulent deception of a representative government, is absolutely mowing us down.
Yes.
Because we do not understand how government and policies really work. And we are being congealed into our own demise by lack of understanding. And we have no more time to be in the dark or tell ourselves, I don't want to know these things. Because our lives, the lives of our children, depend on understanding what is reality. Huh? And certainly, we can't fix everything at this point, at least not yet. We need more people to understand our reality. But we can certainly be making different decisions in the way we live our lives, knowing what we face. And this is really important because, again, your neighbors, your family, your friends must understand the large complexity that we face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, we need help with getting this water information out. Please become educated. Now I'm going to jump into vaccination.
Well, Deborah, let me stop you right there because we are just getting ready to go up to a break. We've only got about 30 seconds left before we have to go to break. So we'll come back to the vaccination issue. And I'll tell you, that is something that's really frightening to me because we've got all those conspiratorial crazy people out there saying, oh, Obamacare, and they're going to make vaccinations mandatory, and then they're going to withhold your medical care if you've not gotten your flu shot. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to read resolutions coming out of Congress saying if you don't get your flu shot, they're going to withhold medical care. And that's about the most frightening thing. And I know another topic that you've talked about a lot is the nanoparticulate pharmaceutical issue, too. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to touch on both of those just briefly when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Deborah Tavares, the one and only, is our guest today. The website, stopthecrime.net, primarywater.org, and refusesmartmeters.com. We're going to come back. Keep your pens and papers warm because there will be more note-taking and more incredible information when we return. 3-minute break. Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. We'll be right back. See you in just a second.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to allgov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine. including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now. Only at hempusa.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Like a cancer that silently spreads.
Aging for Truth with Joe Bannister.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And for all of you guys in the chat room, I'm reading your questions and I'm going to get some of them shuffled across here, make some segues with our guest today. We're into the second hour. This is our final segment today with our guest, Deborah Tavares. I would highly recommend that you guys check out all of the following websites: stopthecrime.net, refusesmartmeters.com, and also primarywater.org. We've been talking quite a bit about the issue of primary water and the fact that the state of California is really kind of under the gun right now in a controlled drought, so that organizations affiliated with the Rothschilds and Rockefellers can essentially create new markets, make more money, and it's all based on fraudulent science, based on fraudulent law. We're basically in a big pickle here right now, and so Deborah Tavares is gracious enough to join us today, try and talk our way through all this stuff so we can figure out exactly what's going on. And Deborah, I know we want to get back and talk about the vaccine issue here really quick, but somebody from the chat room was just wanting me to point out to you or ask you your opinion on the irony of the fact that California currently is getting ready to spend $1 billion on a high-speed rail, but the idea of a desalination plant seems to escape them, although at the same time Saudi Arabia seems to have the most powerful desalination plant in the world. But doesn't that just go to stand to the fact that this is, again, a controlled drought where if we wanted to fix this situation, we absolutely could, and we're just choosing not to?
This is extremely important for everyone to hear right now. We do not need water treatment plants, nor do we need desalinization plants. This is a massive market of delivering new polluted water through creating a new infrastructure. Primary water is in abundance. The earth is growing in size because of the expansion of water on the planet. So don't be alarmed about not meeting the number of desalinization plants that other countries are.
Okay.
This is all false water delivery. And this was the same situation that happened in California with the California Aqueduct. That should have never been built. A series of dams and roads could have been delivered via primary water wells in the state of California. That is why the book I recommended, New Water for a Thirsty World, a free download from primarywater.org, explains, as in that website, discuss why that dam and why the aqueduct system in California never should have been built. We could have delivery systems with primary water wells, clean, pure water that was never in the atmosphere and polluted now with all the chemtrailing, all the bomb testing, Fukushima, and all the toxic runoff now from fertilizers, etc. We are drinking highly toxic water. And desalinization is nothing more than processing atmospheric water that is delivering inadequate water to us that reduces our IQ. So move from the thinking of what the globalists are trying to create now, more money. In fact, it's most important in that YouTube that I did that says, Water Wars, Stealing Water for Profit and Power. I underscore a document which you can download from StopTheCrime.net on our Water Wars link, and it's in that YouTube as well, so that you can refer to it there. But it's a document that we found out of Israel, Goldman Sachs, Rothschild, and it lists all of the corporations within the United States that are literally privatizing with private-public partnerships and consensus building, which is all false reality-based decision-making. We are being delphied into our current situation
by the
RAND Corporation's false consensus and illusion of public input. First, you must understand consensus. It's consensus science. It's false science. This is all mind control. This came out, again, of the RAND Corporation via the Tavistock Institute in the UK. We're under mass mind control and trickery through doublespeak, changing of words, and I want to get into that. But, again, I want to underscore a document that I would certainly recommend everyone download. You can find it on StopTheCrime.net under the Water Wars link. This document is titled Water Market USA, Global Water Intelligence. You will read the intention of stealing the water in the United States and putting it into the private hands of the international bankers and the corporate network of agencies within the United States. This is why I said we really need to get out there with banners and flyers and help everyone become educated as rapidly as possible.
Yes.
Because people will be giving up their lands. Our food supply is going to be reduced. Food supply will cost more. The ultimate goal of the illusion of water scarcity and the reduction of food production is to move into genetically modified foods. This is the goal. They're positioning and scheming the maneuvering of us into accepting genetically modified foods under the illusion, again, of false water scarcity and dropping the available food supply. Also, the geoengineering is literally creating the inability for areas throughout the world that were food producers. It's redirecting where they will allow food production. We recently attended a seminar, and it was just shattering with the clarity of the presentation on how the food supplies, the location of where they're grown, will be redirected. They were talking about how France will no longer be the wine purveyor as they've been over all these many, many decades.
Wow.
That's all moving to other areas. They talk about virtual water. Virtual water, of course, is what water is in the material or the agriculture that has the water in it, how they're moving water as a result of what water can create. And literally this is about genetically modified food. Just recently here in California, in the LA Times again, and you can find it, the FDA has approved genetically modified apples and potatoes. So they're moving into this. Literally, this is called commodification. They're filling in all the gaps where there isn't revenue being made. We were told at this science program that we attended that there are too many gaps where there's lost revenue. And so what is happening is every single thing is going to have a value, our genes, etc. But I want to move now into the vaccinations.
Okay.
But before I just will jump into this because everyone needs to get to this material immediately. You can find it on stopthecrime.net. Under the banner, you will see a scroll passing by. It's the photograph on the left of the scroll. David Dees did an illustration where it shows the VAC squad driving through a neighborhood and literally wrestling people down onto their lawns to vaccinate them. Now, this was a very common reality in Africa, where the government would roll into these villages, and literally the mothers would run out of the villages and try to hide their children.
Wow.
And they were literally found and forced at gunpoint to be vaccinated. This is where we're heading, and I'm going to say a word that is probably unfamiliar to most of you, but you now need to understand it. It's called parens patriae. I'm going to spell it. P as in Paul. A-R-E-N-S, parens, patriae, P as in Paul, A-T-R-I-A-E. It means the government is our parent. Now, we found this on the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Protection website. Now, it's most important to understand the CDC is the face of Rothschild. And, again, you can find this information on stopthecrime.net under our vaccine links. In Chapter 13, page 273 of this document entitled The Public Health Imperative and Individual Rights, written by Kevin Malone and Alan Heineman, it says, parens patriae, further authority to compel vaccination of children comes under the doctrine of parens patriae, in which the state asserts authority over children's welfare. In the 1944 case of Prince versus Massachusetts, which involved child labor under asserted right of religion and freedom, the U.S. Supreme Court summarized the doctrine, noting the following, quote, neither rights of religion nor rights of parenthood are beyond limitation. Acting to guard the general interest in youth's well-being, the state, as parens patriae, meaning the parent, may restrict the parent's control by requiring, for example, school attendance, regulating or providing child labor, and many other ways. The authority is not nullified merely because the parent grounds his claim to control the child's course of conduct on religion or science. Thus, he cannot claim, meaning the parent cannot claim freedom from compulsory vaccination for the child more than for himself on religious grounds.
Wow.
The right to practice freedom freely does not include liberty to expose the community or the child to communicable diseases on the latter to ill health or death. Now, parens patriae is exceedingly important. It is also in the government documents of our country. I would recommend everyone download and read the document, Who is Running America? You can just type that in your search for Who is Running America and read this. The introduction talks about parens patriae. Immediately, you say, well, they can't do this. Well, that's what they're doing.
Right.
On the front page of the North Bay in California Business Magazine, it says this. This is the cover, actually. The vaccination debate, personal choice or public responsibility. They're framing the debate now versus the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated.
Right. Delphi is absolute Delphi technique.
Yes. And what is occurring is obviously mass genocide. What I would recommend everyone do, and I was most impressed by a conference that was given by Andrew Mauldin, M-O-U-L-D-E-N, Dr. Andrew Mauldin, M-O-U-L-D-E-N. It was a conference out of Montreal about vaccinations. I also have that on stopthecrime.net under the vaccination information. Listen to this conference. He died very suspiciously at the age of 49. He spoke about the massive neurological consequences of vaccinations and the strokes. They have been stroking us out through the series of vaccinations. This is what he observed in looking at the symmetry of our faces. He could literally line up photographs from the first vaccination cycle to the next. And children, many would recover between the round of vaccinations, but as it continued, the children would show signs of strokes. One eye would be smaller, would be lower, a lip would be drooped. It's a fascinating conference.
Wow.
And he really hit the nail on the head. They're stroking us out with vaccinations, and they know it. They're killing us. Again, they're making massive amounts of money through Big Pharma as we continue to become less tolerant, and our immune systems are jammed, not only from the vaccines, but all the frequencies that are escalating in our environment. We know that many of the dormant toxic injections from vaccines are activated by frequencies. So again, an excellent YouTube is by Dr. Tent, T-E-N-T, a conference he gave on the immune system and vaccinations. But I want to jump into, again, well, the vaccinations is this. What we discovered, we frequently go to the Federal Register and look and see what is being approved. These are executive orders stacked up. They have literally already, by and large, been approved. But they give you the illusion that you can have and provide public comment. When we found the National Adult Immunization Plan several months ago, it had a comment period. We are not recommending that you comment because literally this is data collection to see if they've successfully brainwashed us into accepting this vaccination protocol under Perrins Poitrier. Also, I want to note, they're using the word immunization interchangeably with vaccination. They're very different definitions. When they named this the National Adult Immunization Plan, we knew immediately that something was up. Well, immunization is when people get mumps or measles as a kid, and then you are naturally immunized against it. You will not get that again.
Okay.
Unlike being vaccinated, you continually must get boosters. It shows certainly that the vaccinations do not work. Well, they do for the means of profits and making us sick so that we become more malleable to the takedown of everything that we hold dear. So this is all part of a controlled takedown of the country, incrementally. Many, many assaults on us from many directions. I want to add at this point, when you see something on a national scale, such as in the on the Federal Register, you've got to look at how this is being pushed locally through your city or through your county, which is what we did. We looked at how the vaccinations are being pushed through our local county here in Sonoma County in Northern California. This is only to reference what you can do. We discovered that our county signed on to Healthy People 2020. We also found out that Blue Shield of California gave a $120,000 grant to the Sonoma County Health Department to create a database to track and locate all uninsured individuals in the county. And the reason that you must be insured is because in the Affordable Health Care Act, it requires vaccinations under the insurance. So what they're doing now is they're going to track you individually in your county and your city, have you on a database. This is why it's not a good idea to fill out the request for petitions and so forth. This is a done deal. We are being run by a corporate construct in which it does not recognize anything of what we say. What we must do is get this information out amongst our neighbors, create neighborhoods of understanding.
Yes.
This is how we will best survive this predatory, dangerous system going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say a few things, and this is absolutely critical. I have so many things to cover, but again, I wanted to point out the urgency of discovering how all of this is playing out in your local communities. One more quick example of that is I regularly go on to the County Board of Supervisors agenda. Everyone should be doing the same thing. For example, I found on the agenda that they want to authorize a grant with an organization called Consensus Building Institute, Inc. Consensus Building Institute, Inc. Now, again, everything that's got the word consensus in it, you know, is brainwashing.
Yes.
It's meeting manipulation to bring the people into the illusion that they are making a difference by public comment. This is how they're keeping this fake reality of this de facto government that does not exist in a framework of it. All it requires is for us to believe it exists. So Consensus Building Institute, Inc. Well, when you research that by typing in Rockefeller, you find that this is an organization funded by Rockefeller.
Hmm.
ARC and Rothschild, because, of course, they have teamed up. So what I would recommend you do, as we discovered here in Sonoma County, our county is working with Rockefeller and Rothschild. They have signed on and adopted this on March 17th of 2015. I will be having a YouTube up about this very soon. Very important to check the YouTube channel on StopTheCrime.net as we illustrate what you're hearing me discuss right now. But again, the Incorporated United States federal government is working with a network of corporate government agencies to seize public water resources by using weather weapons that have intentionally caused the drought in California and elsewhere. By signing on with this consensus group, Consensus Institute, or Consensus Building Institute, Inc., this is to build the water illusion and the requirement of all of us to reduce water consumption. That is the purpose of sending this manipulative consultant team into our area so that they can say that we have been substantially warned that we must reduce water consumption. This will lead into smart metering all wells. And, of course, everyone should oppose this, not allow it. Literally building preventive shields around your well pumps so that they can't do this when you're not home. Now, you had asked me earlier about vaccinations, and I want to cover this very quickly because for many this is a new topic, but I cover this extensively on our website and in prior radio shows. I'm on the Rinse Radio Network. You can connect to the archives. I would strongly recommend that you do. Again, go to the homepage of StopTheCrime.net, scroll down, you'll see the Rinse Radio logo, and right above that, you can click on the archives and listen to that. I have some extremely important YouTubes that you must help get out, because this is why women and children should not be traveling alone. One of the YouTubes is entitled Hunted, Kidnapped, Forcibly Drugged. Again, Hunted, Kidnapped, Forcibly Drugged. Also, another YouTube, Mind Control, Wires in the Brain. Mind Control, Wires in the Brain. And we're talking about stories of victims of electronic terrorism by organized criminal trauma networks and ground teams. This is worldwide. This is going to be replacing the policing that we have seen in our communities. But I want to tell you all a little bit about nanowires, because I know that many of you are starting to hear nanofibers, nanobots, etc. I do have a link on StopTheCrime.net. It's entitled No More Humans. You can get to more information about what I'm going to talk to you about right now. But I'm going to be talking about brain implants. And this has been being surgically done since 1974. Particularly in the state of Ohio in the USA and also in Stockholm, Sweden. Brain electrodes have been inserted into the skulls of babies in 1946 without the knowledge of their parents.
What?
In the 50s and 60s, electrical implants were inserted into the brains of animals and humans, especially in the United States during research into behavior modification and brain and body functioning. Mind control methods were used in attempts to change human behavior and attitudes. Influencing brain functions has become an important goal of the military intelligence services. I'm going to add this because this is extremely important to think about why politicians and policies are not making any sense at all. We are all being massively influenced by the increased amounts of cell towers, wind towers, and antennas that are being deployed massively right now. And Bechtel Corporation is one of the many Rothschild Rockefeller corporations that is behind absolute manipulation in this silent system of warfare for mind control. The ultimate victory is mind control. In other words, being able to control your thoughts, your emotions, and directing your physical actions. This is very, very serious. This is psychotronic weapons being used on a massive scale. Many people are not yet recognizing this. But this is crucial, because what has been occurring, as people start to have thoughts that are not their own, start to have increased anger events and episodes, neighbors are rolling their eyes, thinking that they're having a mental breakdown. Where do they go? To the psychologist's office that happily medicates them.
Right.
What's even worse is what you will hear on the YouTube that we did called Hunted, Kidnapped, and Forcibly Drugged. Again, Hunted, Kidnapped, Forcibly Drugged. I would recommend everyone listen to this. We must understand this as well, because what we're going to have is many more people picked up off the streets and forcibly drugged and incarcerated in mental hospitals. But I want to continue, because it's important to understand that mind control methods have been used in attempts to change human behavior. And over 30 years ago, brain implants showed up on x-rays the size of 1 centimeter, and subsequent implants shrunk to the size of a grain of rice. They have been made of silicone and other materials, and today they are small enough to be inserted into the neck or back, and also intravenously in different parts of the body during surgical operations with or without the consent of the subject. And it is now almost impossible to detect or remove these implants. Why? Because they're connecting to self-replicating nanowires that are growing in our body.
Okay, I've got to pause you right there, because we're just about out of time. We've only got about 30 seconds left, Deborah. Oh, my gosh, what an amazing amount of information. And I'm telling you, you are making my head explode, because this idea of nanoparticulate pharmaceuticals being distributed is, to me, the scariest thing ever, because why would they not do that?
JD, this is all for remote monitoring systems and mm-hmm. to control every individual. This is the goal. This is the victory of this silent weapons system that is being deployed on all of us. And I'll talk about this further when you have me back. But this is a psychotronic weaponized warfare. And
wow.
I have a YouTube called The Cooking of Humanity.
Cooking of Humanity.
Yes.
Okay.
Be well, be safe, and educate yourself.
Absolutely. Please check out all of Deborah's websites as well. StopTheCrime.net, RefuseSmartMeters.com, PrimaryWater.org. Get involved in your community. Get this information
out. Also ToxicSky.org.
ToxicSky.org. All right. Thank you again, Deborah, for being here today. Really appreciate you and all your work that you're doing out there.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.